than murdered. Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of The Call. It is a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Podcast, and Spotify. Well, 2020 is unlike any year, any season that we have been through before, and that's also true with this podcast because, number one, we're bringing you a show on Thanksgiving week, which of the 7 years we have been doing this show, we have never done a show during Thanksgiving week because I'm usually unavailable. But hey, 2020, all bets are off. Joining me as always, my buddy Josh. What's going on, man?
Hey, what's going on? How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good. I guess I'm doing okay because the Ravens, there's like some turmoil going on right now. I mean, this is going to be a very negative show. Maybe we should start off with just saying, like, we're recording right now. It is.
Why's it got to be negative?
It's going to. I mean,
it's got to be negative.
This is going to be a bad one. I mean, let's just be honest.
Oh, man. Bad one. Yeah. We know what's coming.
Well, let's start off. We are recording this right now. It is 1:30 on Tuesday, so you're going to be hearing this a little bit later. Things may have changed, but as of right now, the game on Thursday is still on. The Ravens have 10 people in their organization that have tested positive for COVID. We know at least J.K. Dobbins and Mark Ingram, as far as players, have tested positive. More player names are supposed to come out. And so J.K. Dobbins, Mark Ingram will not be available for the game on Thursday. Brandon Williams is at a high risk of being a contact. He has not tested positive. However, it's unlikely because of the quick turnaround that he will be available as well. There's more names that are going to be coming down the pike as well. So this is scary stuff right now. It seems like now there's 10 people, some tested positive on Sunday, some on Monday, some now on Tuesday. This is going to be kind of scary going forward, but you know, I'm thinking from that Marlon Humphrey infection. I mean, once it gets in, we know this about this virus. Once it gets in somewhere, it spreads, and it could be up to 14 days that it could show up. So, I mean, I feel like the fact that it got into the locker room through Marlon Humphrey, you know, it's just going to continue to spread. These things are going to continue to pop up. But this game on Thursday, I mean, it's going to – we'll get into it later. But, I mean, the fact that it's even going to happen, I think that's got to be up in the air right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's ever-changing. We just don't know. I mean, you know, games could be put on hold. You know, players are, you know, put on the list. They can't play. They're isolated. You know, that same thing with fantasy owners. We get it, right? It's the challenge and the risk. And Matt Judon was interviewed and asked that about that. And he's like, hey, we signed up for it. That's the risk we knew we were all taking. It comes with the territory of 2020, right? You know, it just is what it is. But navigating this is just so tough because, you know, at any point fans they flip out, right? As soon as the news comes across, I get the flood of messages like, what's going on? Are you going to play or, you know, and then Rav flips out because we're down two running backs. And I mean, that's just what it is. I mean, it sucks. You know, anyway, slice it. You know, trying to trudge through a 2020 NFL season, not let alone daily life, you know, it's pretty difficult. We wish players well. You know, the protocols are in place. Again, you know, we just not even, you know, getting to the aspect of the games, but, you know, just we know the NFL is taking every precaution to get through this year, to have a complete year. I was just watching Monday Night Football, and they said the Super Bowl was 76 days away. I mean, barring – any craziness that would have happened in the NFL, you know, we're a little over 2 months away from Super Bowl, man. So, I mean, you know, the NFL is almost about to pull this off. We're heading into week 12, and they've pretty much flawlessly pulled this off somehow, some way. I mean, you look at the other leagues, right? NHL, NBA, they've had that condensed season and some weird formatting. The NFL so far, no canceled games, no canceled weeks. It's been, they had to move some things around. There's been some Tuesday night games, right? But
right.
The weirdness of this year has been the NFL so far pulled this off magically. And I commend that. Commend all the players and staff in the NFL in total. It's almost like, why don't they just run the show for the country? Because it's like, they're putting it on for us. And we're happy because they're the only sport right now that's up and running. So without football, we'd be quiet. So it'll all be quiet out there. So,
well, let me tell you, I've been thinking about the Super Bowl. I brought this up when the one day I go into work and, you know, me and the one coworker I work with now, we always
down
talk
the one.
Yeah. That's pretty much all it is right now. I mean, it's an empty skeleton building when I go in. It's crazy. But I said, look, when the playoffs start for the NFL, they're going to have to do a bubble, kind of like the NHL did and the NBA did, because the bubbles worked. Can you imagine? Let's just say, you know, the Chiefs are in the Super Bowl and, you know, Patrick Mahomes, the Saturday before the Super Bowl, gets a positive test. The star QB isn't going to be in the biggest game of the year. I mean, there's too much money invested in the Super Bowl and commercials and everything else for them not to have the star person, to have a backup QB playing. I mean,
I hate to play devil's advocate. What's the difference if he gets hurt on the first play?
I mean,
it happens.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, but like right now,
Patrick Mahomes makes it again, back to back Super Bowls, and he gets whacked and blows out his knee on the first play. It ain't COVID. He gets injured. So, I mean, you know, I hate to go there, but I'm just saying, you have a great point. But I always have to play that, like, I look at COVID as injuries. You know, right. Especially with because I turn on my fantasy brain there. I look at them as like, okay, they're hurt. Like I have Dobbins in my fantasy. I'm like, okay, they're out. Like, you know, like any other player, like I have several Titans that were happening this year and all that. And you just move things around. And with the bye weeks, you just deal with it. So no, but you bring a great point. The biggest stage over to happen, but I feel like with the NFL, with that time frame, because there's no Pro Bowl this year, I feel like that 2 week window, if the schedule, I think looks, I have to look it up, but if what I know the schedule looks like and they play that title game and it's 2 weeks for the Super Bowl, the NFL is going to probably be very, very careful, especially in that Super Bowl week, of having the players very isolated and getting them ready to go and making sure that we're all hands on deck for the players' sake on Super Bowl Sunday. But they got 2 months to get there. And for the Ravens' sake, it don't look like they might even be participating because they are playing themselves right out of contention.
Yeah, they absolutely are. So let's get back to Sunday's game against Tennessee. I actually want to start talking to you about this game before the game, because a lot of the drama happened even before the whistles were blown. Even, you know, when the clock started, there was already a lot of tension on the field. So there's two things that happened. So let's start talking about the Tennessee Titans and what they did. They came out and they had their team meeting on the shield. In the middle of the field, on the Baltimore Ravens shield. And our coach, John Harbaugh, he took offense to that. And he went over and had some words, and the Titans were ready to fight back. And what did you think of Harbaugh's move? Because I like the fact that Harbaugh went out there, stood up for his guys, stood up for his team, and said, you know, that's kind of petty for you to celebrate or do whatever on the shield. We've seen this before. You know, Terrell Owens was known to do stuff like this. But for the entire Titans team to come out and do that and stand on the shield to disrespect the Ravens, I mean, I understand Harbaugh getting out there and taking offense to that.
No, I agree. I like the fire. I like the fact that it just showed competitiveness. It showed, like, you know, okay, it was a little chippiness. It reminded me, and I'm even going to take this and escalate a step further, because for some reason this weekend felt like, again, it was playoff weekend, because not only the pregame tussles, right? You just mentioned. NFL Network was airing the divisional game from January, which we lost. And then I don't know what network it was. I think it was like one of the Ravens local channels. They were airing the 2000 divisional game, and I tuned in just in time to see the Ray Lewis pick six. So for some reason, it was Ravens Titans all in the airwaves. And then you had the chippiness during the game, before the game. And it was like, it reminded me again, you remember the bulletin board material back when Bill was the head coach? And, you know, remember after we beat them in the regular season? You know, before the playoffs started, you remember he held up the clip and it said, held up an article and said, Titans are NFL's best team, but he remembered what he said. He goes, not today. And the Ravens couldn't gloat because we knew the end result and they couldn't get it done. But this, you know, for some reason, the rivalry is renewed. This reminded you of the old school Ravens Titans rivalry.
Right.
And how about it, man? I mean, you know, it's a quick turnaround. I've yet to tweet about Steeler Week or put it out there on social media. It is Steeler Week. But how about that? You go from renewing a rivalry of the Titans, and then you have the quick turnaround and have to play the Steelers in 4 days. And we'll get to that. Who knows if that'll even happen when it's all, again, COVID mess and whatnot. But they executed, and like Garrett Wolfe said, they can't play a 60-minute ball. They can't play a full football game, and that's what's sad. You see it all the time this year, right? They come out in the first half, look flat. Remember the Colts game?
Right.
55 total yards offense, 55 penalty yards. And in the second half, it was like, what happened? You flipped the switch. You know, the Steelers game, if they don't do the turnovers, they win that game. And it's just like, Derek Wolfe is 100% right. This team, you want to talk about, we talk about a lot on the show, where's the team identity? That's their identity. They're not finishers. They're incomplete. They do enough, but not enough. You know, it's not there. And it was a shame. I told you pre-show, I laughed at the end of the game. Again, you know, and I hate to, you know, make this a joke. It is what it is. Everybody's going to handle it differently. You know, some people can get upset and not watch the game. Some people are flipping out. Some people just don't care.
Oh, this bandwagon, this bandwagon got so much lighter after that game.
Oh, yeah.
My God.
I've noticed it. And that's fine. You know, we welcome all Ravens Nation. I don't care if you want to stay on for 1 week, 1 year, or all years, you know, or get off. To me, it floats your own boat, right? But it just shows you how this year's going. You know, they had the lead. They went down early. Resilience went down 7-0. You had to figure. I said it out loud when it happened. Here we go again. You know, the Titans got down and scored 7-0 against this in the playoff game, and it was like, oh, she wrote, and I'm like, here's January all over again. The only thing it really changed is it wasn't nighttime and there's no fans. But it's the same stupid uniforms other than the black jersey for Ravens. It was the same. And, I mean, there was a few bright spots in this game that we'll certainly highlight and talk about. But at the end of the day, they had the Titans by 11 points. They were up 14-10. Lamar throws a beautiful ball to Mark Andrews. They're up 21-10 with, 8 minutes left in the third quarter. All they do is finish the job. And not only that, but continuing the mantra of finishing the job, they're not doing what they capitalized on last year. Red zone offense. When the Ravens got inside the 20 under Lamar in 2019, it was a done deal. You could bet your – I don't care. Mortgage, life savings that the Ravens are going to score a touchdown in the red zone. If they didn't, you were utterly shocked. You know, the odds were so much in your favor. They had, three or four trips in the red zone, if my memory serves correctly. They didn't score a single touchdown. It was field goals.
Yep.
Their touchdowns were came outside the red zone. Now, I know Dobbins had one, you know, that was close to the goal line, but I think it's one touchdown and four trips, if my notes were correct. They convert another one of those into a touchdown. The game is over. Especially at the end of the game, man, they drove right down the field and had an opportunity to win the game in regulation. They had an opportunity to do it, you know, when it was 7-0. It could easily have been 14-7 in favor of the Ravens, but instead it was 7-6 because they got to kick chip shot field goals because they can't sustain the drives and finish them. That's the identity they are this year. They just can't finish. And this one took the wind out of the sails because, remember, they held the fifth seed in the playoffs for a couple weeks. Then they lost 6-3 to the Patriots, and they knocked them into – they were holding on to the seventh seed. Now they got knocked out. Now if you look at the AFC playoff picture, they're in the hunt. And the Cleveland Browns won Sunday against the Eagles. So the Ravens, not even talking about the AFC North race, but they are in third place. The Cleveland Browns are one game better right now than the Baltimore Ravens in the win column. They're 7-3. Ravens are 6-4. If that doesn't tell you how this year is going for them, everybody's dumping their stock. They sell quickly.
Ravens do make it to January, I feel as if this team can't go very far. You know, no. It'll be another one and done like we saw last year.
Right.
even though they aren't performing like they did last year, unfortunately. But I feel like Lamar, he is doing, you know, all the things that he should be doing. We saw him again in the pregame. He is not the guy. He is not the guy that will that is a rah-rah guy. He is not a Ray Lewis. He is not going to rally the troops. But we saw him in the center of the circle hyping up his team during the pregame. And that was something that was kind of refreshing to see, because he doesn't do that. He likes to lead by example, not, you know, by what him saying stuff. So he knows that he's got to motivate this team. He knows it. He knows this is his team. So it was good to see that he was willing to do that and kind of change up the way that he does things and be more of a team player. But I don't know if he has the talent around him to make a difference. This offense is in shambles right now. J.K. Dobbins had a fantastic showing on Sunday. I think it kind of proved that he is the number one guy for running backs if he were playing on Thursday. But he would be the guy going forward. But as far as, you know, the offensive line, that's in shambles right now due to injuries. And Lamar doesn't have the targets. He has Mark Andrews. And the two of them work really well together. But the wide receiver core, it's just not there. Hollywood Brown made a big stink on Twitter a couple weeks ago, and where has he been? Any ball that's thrown to him, he's missing. He's not catching it. So I feel like even though we have a new quarterback in Lamar than what we've had in, you know, Joe Flacco in the past, we're having the same issues than we did before. Wide receivers that are drafted or brought in, they're not getting the job done. And you can have the greatest quarterback in the world. If you don't give him the targets or the people to play with, then he's not going to make a difference for your team. You know, it's,
you know who got the job done? It was awesome to see. Who was the second leading receiver on Sunday?
Who was that?
Dez Bryant.
They activated Dez.
So you bring in a guy who hasn't played since 2017, signed to the practice squad, bring him up. He went from 2 snaps to 35 snaps, 34, I can't remember, 34, 35 snaps. Played almost a majority of the Ravens snaps. He had 4 catches for, what, 30-something yards? He was 1 catch behind the team lead, and Mark Andrews with 5, and Mark Andrews had the touchdown. And Hollywood had – I can tell you how many stats he had, because he had a 0 in the column in my fantasy squad. So what does that tell you? You know, Dez Bryant, he produced. Like you said, you know, to me, the thing on Hollywood Brown, he's a slot receiver. They drafted him seriously to be the number one on this team is beyond me. There's no way. He doesn't create separation. He's not the go up and get it ball, the go up and get the ball kind of receiver. He's not. I mean, his cousin balled out on Monday night better than he did on Sunday. You know, when you're speaking of Antonio Brown, you know, Antonio Brown's back in the league, and he's balling out with Tom Brady down there in Tampa. I mean, you have Dez Bryant and Antonio Brown, who haven't really played much in the last few years, and you have Hollywood Brown crying he wants to be a soldier and wants to catch. He had a wide open catch on Sunday, he missed it.
Yep.
I mean, you know, catch the ball, bud. I mean, you bulked up muscle, use it. But I don't know what's going on with this.
That seems to be Eric DaCosta and Ozzie Newsome's kind of Achilles heel. They're really good at drafting on defense, but when it comes to offense, like, they get good offensive linemen, absolutely. But when it comes to the wide receiver core, it's just not there. I mean, even
how crazy is that? You just mentioned it. Yeah, they draft Hall of Fame linemen. Yonda's probably in the next one, right? How many All-Pro – and again, Hall of Famers are in this group too, but how many secondary All-Pro safeties, corners, you know, Humphrey, Marlin, we trade for Marcus Peters, Ed Reed, Ray Lewis, Terrell Suggs, Hall of Famers. You know, even on the offensive side of the ball, we have a Super Bowl MVP quarterback and we have an NFL MVP quarterback. We drafted him. You know, how about running backs? Ray Rice. He was an integral part of the championship years. Trading for free agents like Bolden. I know he wasn't drafted, but still, it seems like the noted wide receivers, you know, now, of course, Dez Bryant adds him to folklore because he was the second leading receiver right now as it stands. He's trending up. The Ravens get these journeyman wide receivers on the back end of their career, like a Bolden, a Steve Smith, a Derek Mason, a Dez Bryant, that contribute. But they can't draft these guys. I mentioned to it already, what, 2-3 shows ago, probably last year. I know I mentioned it a lot. The Ravens could have drafted – I mean, again, Hollywood Brown last year was dynamic. We can't deny that. But A.J. Brown, who – hey, I don't know if you saw it this morning on Good Morning Football, Angry Run Segment. A.J. Brown won the Angry Run Segment. A.J. Brown was drafted in the second round after Hollywood Brown. That's the Brown that we should have, that 11, not 15. Sorry. DK Metcalf, beast, as we know, freakazoid, drafted in the second round. For some reason, I'm glad you brought that up because it was a perfect segue. Why can't the Ravens scouting department and personnel not hit on a receiver? And it's not even recently. It's been since 1996. We have not a true number one stuck receiver here. Like, we can't get it. We can't. I mean, they drafted anywhere from a Randy Hines to Travis Taylor. And I mean, again,
we drafted Torrey Smith, right? We brought him in.
Yeah. And you could make a case that he was probably but when I'm talking in terms of, again, yeah, he was probably the best receiver we've had on the team drafted. Maryland Turp, we get it. But if you're comparing Torrey to what I'm trying to compare to, the elite receivers, A.J. Brown, Derek Metcalf, DK Metcalf for the league this year, and not only that, but like the previous, you know, Calvin Johnson, Julio Jones, I'm talking these big go up and get it receivers. You know, we get that in tight ends. You know, we draft beast tight ends. I don't know. And that's what I feel like the Ravens are lacking, but it's not the only piece. You know, they got injuries on the line. They got injuries here. You know, obviously we didn't have Brandon Williams, Calais Campbell again on the defensive line. So that played a part into it. There's a lot to talk about that, but just for personnel's sake, we just want them to do better in that department. And I'm glad you brought that up. They can hit on any other position.
Yeah.
But wide receiver, I literally told somebody, I said, I think I had the social media post of the century. I said, what will happen first? I don't think I put on social media. I think I texted somebody, and if I didn't put it on social media, I apologize. But I posed this question, Brandon. What's going to happen in my lifetime first? Will the Ravens draft a true viable number one receiver, or will the Orioles win a World Series?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it's just like, really? I've seen two Ravens Super Bowls, but we can't get a World Series here in Baltimore, and we can't get a wide receiver, so what gives? I don't know. It just bothers me. But I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah, I mean, let's talk a little bit more on the defensive side of this Tennessee game. The defense looked absolutely lost. I think it kind of shows how important a guy like Brandon Williams is to this team, because we definitely missed him and Calais Campbell, like you said. But, I mean, the Ravens got run over, completely run over. And I didn't know Patrick Queen switched teams. He joined the NWO back in the 90s. You know, he switched t-shirts and joined the Tennessee Titans and helped those guys.
I have to do it since we're on video. For all those who didn't see, I was doing the half windmill thing.
The half windmill. You got to do
from back to wrestling right days. Yeah.
But
Hogan.
But yeah, Patrick Queen switched teams and helped the Tennessee Titans get that touchdown to towards the end of regulation. So not a good showing for Patrick Queen. This defense again looks lost.
He had one great play. He blitzed Tannehill that led to the pick for Bowser.
Yeah,
like he got in there. So I mean, but the defense didn't look good in trying to tackle AJ Brown. I guarantee that. They held Henry in check for most of the game. That hit Deshaun Elliott put on him was awesome. And then as the game wore on, again.
Is it just fatigue? Are these guys out on the field too much? I mean, we saw that on Christmas Day against the Steelers a couple years ago.
Well, I think they were, because you remember the Ravens offense went 3-and-out a good few times on Sunday.
Yeah.
So I feel like and I can pull up, if you give me a second, I can pull up time and possession to do you one better and really show you it was a defense on the field all the time. I think they were. You know, and it proves. I mean, when you're winded like that, and your offense doesn't really control the clock and control the ball, that's usually a recipe for disaster. Here it is, team stats. Yeah, they had it for two more minutes than we did. They had it for 33 minutes, and the Ravens had it for 31. So, yeah. So it's about split even then, but still.
I do want to bring up Derek Wolfe, though. He's a guy that I was really excited that they brought in. I was really excited to see how he would do this season. And John Harbaugh pointed out in his press conference yesterday how impressed he was with Derek Wolfe's play and how much he enjoys him on this team. But I don't know if I'm watching the same game as Harbaugh is. I mean, he's the coach, so he's got a better eye than I do. But it scares the crap out of me having Derek Wolfe on this team, because when he's on the field, he's fantastic. But to get him on the field is very difficult. He already missed a game or two this season. He missed a couple plays this game and last game. So I mean, hopefully he's not like an injury prone player and he can be out on the field because he's great when he's there. But God, every time there was a defensive Raven down, I felt like it was Derek Wolf. He missed a couple plays, but he went right back out there, which is, I mean, that's one of the only times you can say, you know, this team has played like a Raven, really. But Derek Wolf, I don't know. He seems very inconsistent to me. Am I wrong?
Yeah, I can see where you can get that. I mean, to me, if you look at the whole body work, yeah, you got to stay healthy to really make an impact. I feel like he's been a great addition to the defense. But you're right. You know, when you're not out there helping your team and you're either off injured or if it's COVID related, it doesn't matter. It's, you can't make an impact unless you're on the field and stay healthy. Just like with Calais Campbell, you know, great addition, but he got hurt and it ain't his fault, right? These guys don't get hurt on purpose. Right. Freak accidents happen on the field, but when you can't stay healthy, it just further proves you can't make an impact when you're not playing. So, no, I feel like Derek Wolf's been an awesome addition to the defense, like you said. But I'm not going to go as far as say he's been a liability. It's been a liability when he's not there because it's an absence. Yeah. You know, the absence of that talent's huge. So he's got to stay healthy, you know, whether it's non-virus, virus-related or non-injury-related, you got to stay healthy and get on the field and have our best foot forward going forward with all the personnel. I mean, again, I was happy they stopped Derrick Henry for as long as they did without Brandon and Clayus. You know, it was like, oh, they're keeping King Henry in check. I mean, granted, he got half his yards on one the run at the end of the game, and he only scored. But, you know, he wasn't as bad as a factor as he was in January.
Right.
Let me put it to you that way. The Ravens killed themselves because they were up 11. This was a totally different game. And like and you heard countless Ravens say, including Lamar, the Ravens took their foot off the gas. I don't know what they did. There was drives where it's like, can they put 30, 40 points up? And then they get the ball in overtime. Brandon, the 2019 Ravens would get the ball in overtime. You could shut the TV off. You already knew they probably scored a touchdown.
Right.
They go three and out. That's embarrassing, man.
Well, when they go to overtime.
I knew they were going to lose. When they get three out, I was like, nope, done.
When they go to overtime, I think even Joe Flacco said it back in the day when they're like, look, we got Justin Tucker. You know, all we have to do is get to that field goal line and we're good.
Right. But that was before the rules changed too. I don't know right. when they changed or what year, but now that you have to score a touchdown to sustain that.
Yeah.
But we get it. Right. I get it.
All right. So should we look forward to the Thursday game at this point?
Well,
is there something else you want to cover for the Titans?
I think we got it. I mean, again, it's just they got to capitalize. We get it. This is the same old Ravens mantra. I feel like the Tennessee game, we cut it up and sliced and diced in any way we could, but it's pretty much cut and dry. You know, they didn't execute. They had them on the ropes, let them off the hook. Should have won that game easily. But before we get to the Steelers game, I want to set the stage. Adam Schefter, ESPN. Tweeted out during the show, not bad news, but it's kind of good and bad news. It says, Raven, and this is his live tweet. I'm reading it verbatim. Adam Schefter. Ravens now have 5 players and 4 staffers tested positive this week, sources tell ESPN. Thursday night's game versus the Steelers is still on as scheduled, but a source warned that further positives could mean postponing it. So if just reading it right there. If there's more positives to come out in any Ravens or Steelers camp, the game's going to be a no-go. So we're going to have no Thanksgiving Ravens-Steelers feast, you know, for that game. Let's pray no more positives because I want a Thursday night feast for Ravens-Steelers. I would hate to not have this game on Thursday and have to play it on Sunday or even further. Because, again, remember, the Ravens play the following Thursday against the Cowboys. So if they move the game to Sunday – I mean, again, you still got a short week, but then I mean, it's just, it is what it is. But there it is, Ravens Steelers. We know what this one's going to, we already know what this matchup brings. It's Ravens Steelers number 2, Steeler week. I got to get on the short Steeler hate week train here. Love to hate this team, don't we? It's the rivalry of all ages. They're 10-0, coming off a drubbing of the Jacksonville Jaguars 27-3. I was watching some of the Steelers game for the most part. Looked like the Steelers were dead in the water. They didn't score the first touchdown until 3-7 minutes exactly in the second quarter, and then it's all sure they pulled away. It was 3-3. Steelers got a cakewalk to 16-0. I mean, if they can get past us and I think the Browns, it's pretty much it. So they might be the second team in this era to go 16-0, and the Patriots didn't finish it. So I'm not rooting for them, obviously, but I'm saying that. But just saying how easy the stage is set for this kind of team this year, Ravens could easily be one of those blocks to trip them up. I mean, it's still – Ravens Steelers, no matter how bad the Ravens are playing, who's on the field. I know personnel's pretty much slim with Calais Campbell, Brandon Williams. I didn't even think I was going to be available. The injury report hasn't been put out yet. Today's Tuesday, and it's a short week, but with COVID up in the air in this game, I don't even know if the injury report's out yet. But we already know we're down the gusset and we're starting running back. And then that bodes well, because then Greg Roman's probably going to get run happy with Lamar and run Lamar 50 times into the ground. So I'm not looking forward to this at all. I hate to say that, but this just screams national TV disaster and a huge blowout loss for the Ravens. Putting it out there, right. I'm not sugarcoating this turkey, because it's we're going right to the eating the pumpkin pie, pretty humble, and saying it's this was not going to be how it was last time, where we beat them in statistical category. We didn't turn the ball over. We didn't win the game. The Steelers are far superior as of right now. I'm not sitting here and trying to preach doom and gloom. The Ravens are going to lose out and all that, but just looking at the matchup in the game, you can't be serious how the Ravens are trending downward. Losing, two in a row. They were 5-2, beat the Colts. They're riding high at 6-2. Now they're 6-4. I mean, it's a tale of two teams trending totally the opposite direction. Steelers are widening their lead. They're going to take the Ravens divisional crown from them. The Ravens are 2-time defending champs in the AFC North. Not going to be a triple crown for the Ravens this year unless something insane happens and the Ravens win out somehow and the Steelers falter. And it's got to start Thursday. But this matchup proves a lot of problems for the Ravens on a short week, and with the Steelers riding high right now, and with the Ravens being decimated all over the place, this one looks bleak, my friend. Bleak.
Yeah, absolutely it does. At the beginning of the year, no, this one is the one you circled, and you're like, yeah, I can't wait to watch this one, but I'm not looking forward to this game at all. This is going to be a rough one.
You're going to eat too much and not stay awake?
Well, I'll tell you what I did this morning. I stopped by a local a fisherman's wharf or something, and I got 2 dozen Chincoteague oysters, because I figured,
you're an oyster fan.
I like some oysters, dude. So it's okay. The burr months, okay. So they're it's time, but all right. local oysters,
I can't get
absolutely
into them. I like that's them. The only seafood I can't get into them.
So that's my plan for this game. Like, every time the Ravens do something really dumb, I'm gonna eat an oyster. But
how many oysters is that, over and under?
I bought 24 oysters. 20. I hope I'm
20.
Not.
Ah, oh, I said 20. You said 24.
I hope I'm not eating all 24, but.
See if it happens.
Lamar said at the post game.
We should put a poll out there on the Facebook page. Will Brandon eat all 24 oysters on Thursday night? Yes or no? I think it's going to happen.
Hey, we'll see. But Lamar put it out there that they weren't motivated, that the motivation to beat the Titans wasn't there. Look, you've got the 10-0. Pittsburgh Steelers on Thanksgiving night in Pittsburgh. You want to play spoiler in some way. There's your motivation. If you want to be the team, and it's the rivalry.
Start the Grinch season early, right?
That's right. Bring them some coal in Pittsburgh.
The team that's still undefeated.
Give them that L for Christmas. That's what you want to do. But, I mean, everything is there for you. There's no way you can't be motivated for this Thursday night game if you're a player. But like you brought up, no Mark Ingram, no J.K. Dobbins. This looked like this was going to be Dobbins' his real big breakout game, and we're not going to be able to see that. So Gus Edwards, Justice Hill, I like these two guys, but do you have faith in this running game if those are the two guys that are playing?
Well, I have faith in Gus Edwards. I've seen what he can do. Holistically, if you look at the running game, I don't have faith in the running game as a whole in the scheme. I have faith in the player. I don't have faith in Lamar running it, because the defenses are trapping him. He's not looked the same. Now, granted, he had two great runs against Washington and Philly for the touchdown.
But that's Washington
great execution.
And Philly.
Right, but it's Washington and Philly, and the Ravens would be like division winners right now in that division. So it's like, can we just switch divisions for one season? Just one time. But it's just – and that's the thing, count your blessings, because we could be in the all atrocious NFC East, but we're not. So, but it's all good, getting away from that. But, I have faith in Gus Edwards wholeheartedly. Can't wait to see what he can do. And that's next man up. Justice Hill is going to get some, and you got to move some personnel around. I know he's been a special teamer a little bit, getting in on a few of the offensive plays, but it's going to be the Bus and Hill show for Thursday night. And we already know Lamar's probably going to be in this game as well and running it, which scares the crap out of me, because, no, it's got to be feed Gus the Bus and And what's kind of fitting is the new bus. It rolls into Pittsburgh, and you know, little paying homage to Jerome Bettis, the old bus from Pittsburgh. There's going to be a new bus that's going to be driving into Pittsburgh, and that's going to have to lead the charge for the Ravens. And I like to see I like to see. Well, I said before, like you mentioned, you know, Dobbins is emerging as the back in the Ravens, and you know, Mark Ingram's phasing himself out pretty quickly. With injury and play, you know, kind of, but it sucks because I really love the guy, love his personality for this locker room and the Ravens in total. But I've always went about my favorite players. It's got to be the Dobbins and Dez show. And with Dez leading the charge with second in receiving, you know, he had 30 over 30 snaps for the Ravens. I feel like this is a Thanksgiving feast for Dez and Gus. Instead of Dez and Dobbins, it's going to be the Gus the Bus and Dez show. I feel like these two players are going to be the X factor, not to, you know, Dez with his infamous X. These two guys are going to be the X factor for the offense. I think, you know, we got to run and set up the pass. It's going to be a running game and got to get back to running football. It was, what, 3 weeks removed that the Ravens were league leading with 164 yards averaging and rushing, and they just faltered ever since. So we got to get back to prominence and running the ball down the throats and setting up play action, setting up the pass, getting Lamar comfortable and getting the guys open. And not only that, but because the line's been broken down so much, Lamar missed Dez on a lot of wide open, and the defenses were disrespecting him, you know, because they felt he hasn't been in the league. They were lining 5-10 yards off the ball. There was a lot of times where Dez would literally stand there, and I'm like, and Lamar would look over in the other side, and I'm like, do you not read your progressions? Then I see like other quarterbacks like Justin Herbert and Jared Goff in the league, and then you see Patrick Mahomes do it. They read through progressions like Lamar did last year. Like, all right, let's look at the whole field, and oh, here's Snead, and here's this guy. And it's like, now he's just, if it ain't Mark Andrews, it's nobody catching the ball. We're back to that mess. And this game's got to stop. So I really fully expect a Dez Bryant touchdown on Thanksgiving night is what I want to feast my eyes on. And then I want to see the Ravens really execute the game plan. Try to be as sharp as you can. You know, they have three primetime games left, this one included. I would love to, you know, again, if they're not going to, my mantra still stands. They're going to get blown out. It's not going to be pretty. But even if they lose and they make it an entertaining close game, I have more respect for them as a whole, especially how they did, you know, faring against Steelers where they didn't have mistakes. They would have won the game hands down. And they already had their first loss and then some. So that's it. That's key. And we know what Steelers bring. It's Big Ben and company. You got to get pressure on him. Got to bring him down. I feel like the X factor is not going to be their running game. James Conner. It's going to be Big Ben stopping Deontay Johnson and Juju Smith-Schuster. Those guys are balling on all cylinders. I mean, Deontay Johnson's coming off with a crazy good game. We know what Juju can bring. Big Ben always extending plays. Can't bring him down. Got to get pressure. That's where it starts. Creating turnovers is where they need to be. They got back. Remember how I said they didn't create a turnover in the rain against the Patriots, where they finally got one on the board. They got an interception against Tannehill. It wasn't enough to prove it set up the score, but which is awesome. But other than that, the Ravens got to get back to their ways in creating the madness. Remember, the last time they won in Pittsburgh was last year with the Marlon Humphrey punch fumble on Juju. So yeah, the Ravens got to get back to their creating turnovers, wrecking havoc with Big Ben back there. But it's going to be a long day at the office if they don't execute on all levels. This one's got to be the sharpest game they play if they want to take it. And you got to take a step further. I mean, it's asking a lot to have an NFL team play sharp every single week. That's what you want. But they got to – the season's on the line right here. Mm-hmm. You go 6-5.
Every game is a playoff game at this point.
Well, yeah, and not only that, but like you said before, the Ravens game even started Sunday, there was a record 9 AFC teams with 6 wins or better heading into Sunday, and obviously, you know, some teams lost, some teams won, and put it in the 7th win column, but, you know, the AFC stacked. Right now, the Ravens are in the hunt column. They went from 5th seed to in the hunt. We want to get back in the walk. That's why I told somebody, I said, I'm enough. Enough with the Lamar's got to for 505 touchdowns every game. Enough with the, you know, the Ravens need to score 50 points. I don't care. I don't care if they win the game 10-11 and Lamar throws 5 interceptions. Win the game. The wins are going to qualify for getting them escalated in the seeding and getting towards a playoff hunt. You know, they're 6-4. They played 10 games. They got 6 left. The Ravens have to go 4-2 the rest of the way for at least a 10-6 record. So 4-2, 5-1, or 6-0 running the table is the goal. If they go 500 or worse, they're out. 500 or worse is a 9-7 or an 8-8 seed. But
is this the season? Is the season over if they don't win on Thursday?
It's on life support. It's a must win. I mean, yeah, I just said, you know, I don't want to backtrack. I said the season's over if they lose, but I'm just going to say, yeah, it's pretty much on life support because then you look at the games. And I say it's on life support because of it's kind of a mixed message I want to send there, right? You're like, well, Josh, how's the season over if it's on life support? But you look at their schedule. This is what might save them. Getting past the Steelers, their hardest game is against Cleveland on Monday Night Football. They play the Cowboys on Thursday night here. They play the Giants. They play the Jaguars. They play the Bengals. And the Bengals are already without Joe Burrow. Hope he's all right. Rest in peace, full recovery. That was a gruesome injury. Joe Burrow down for the year, man. You hate to see it. Number one overall draft pick. Not gloating about it because we're still playing. But I'm just saying bodes well in the matchup favor because Ravens aren't playing. And you know, they handle Burrow and the Bengals handily here in Baltimore. You know, it seems like eons ago, right? But that's why I said it's on life support because they could lose to Pittsburgh and be 6-5, and they could win out and be 11-5 because the schedule is so soft. They have a chance where, other than the Browns, the rest of the teams combined don't even have probably 8 wins total right now as it stands in the league. So that's what makes me excited and gives me hope. If they still were to lose this, season's not over, but it's almost flatlining at that point. You better shape up and not have no more slip-ups. Because, I mean, I can see them being 10-6, losing to Cleveland and Pittsburgh, and that's it. But they can't have any more excuses. It's 10-6, and 10-6 might qualify for that 7th spot, and they get lucky with the expanded playoffs, might get that 7th seed. There's a lot of teams to beat out. I mean, they already beat the Colts, but now the Colts won, and we lost our game ahead of us. We already beat the Browns one time with one time to play, but they're already a game ahead of us. So a lot of football to be played. But losing the Steelers here, it's detrimental to any success. Win here boosts the confidence big time, especially with the way the injuries are and COVID. That, man, we would be walking on Black/Purple Friday. Oh, man, Ravens fans would be barrel-chested, man. They'd be all out here walking in the head high. But it's a tall order. I don't see it happening. But going to root them hard as always and wish them the best. But this matchup just proves big-time nightmares. And I know we beat them before on Thanksgiving. And we've gotten to eat the turkey legs for a celebration for NBC's sake. But anyway you see it, it's hard for me to even put the Ravens in the victory column. It's just tough right now. Can't do it. Got to prove it to me, guys.
It, with the COVID test, the positive COVID test, with the shortened week, with the injury stacking up, I don't know how the Ravens can come away with a win on Thursday. The Steelers, I mean, they are just firing on all cylinders this season. It's really scary to see. I mean, how can Big Ben still be that good? He's been here for so long, but if the Ravens can pull it off, if they can get a win on Thursday, I think, like you said, confidence booster for the team, for the fan base, for everybody. And I think moving forward, they can get some wins. But this one's going to be rough. This is going to be very rough to see. And like you said, I'm just hoping it's not like a blowout. I hope that they can at least stay competitive throughout the game. And, I mean, that was something we at least saw in New England, that they were competitive against New England up until the last second. But I don't know. I don't have a good feeling about this one. Let's just hope there is a game. Lots of stuff going on in the world right now. So we'll see what happens on Thursday. So, Josh, have we covered everything for this episode of The Call?
We certainly have. And this Thanksgiving Feast edition, quote the Raven, nevermore.
All right, guys, if you want to continue the conversation with Josh or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. And, Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
Always Italian GQ52.
Now go over to our Facebook page, facebook.com/thecallpodcast. Like us over there. Whenever a new show comes out, you'll be the first to know. Plus, we're always sharing any kind of news and information about the Ravens or football in general. So make sure you're following us over on Facebook. Now, we do the show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast. Google Podcast and Spotify. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Write us an Apple Podcast review and then let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Twitch and TikTok and anywhere else you're social on the web or with your phone. Say, I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. I listen to The Call and you should too. So that is pretty much it for the show this week. Josh, 7 years in, we're still making history here. Thanksgiving week shows. 7 years,
my friend. We've watched each other grow up.
Oh, we really have. We really have. So, Josh, get us ready. Thanksgiving game, Thanksgiving night against the Steelers in Pittsburgh. Take us out the way you always do.
Oh, of course, my friend. Thank you as always. Ravens Nation, I know. This has been a year of years, both personally, professionally, how you slice it. It's been crazy. And as we just discussed, doesn't get any easier for the Ravens. It just, they just make it that much harder for this year. For all the fans, I know, I see the text. I have the discussions for as bad as this year is, you would hope that the Ravens could offer that one bright spot that we can look forward to. And it just seems like lately it's just nothing but turmoil, frustration, and anger and sorrow. And we get it. It's the ups and downs of being an NFL fan of a team. But we got to enjoy this Thanksgiving feast. I hope everybody enjoys what's laid out there for them. We have our traditional Lions game and Cowboys game. It's going to be some good ones. Texans, Lions to kick it off. Then you can feast on a divisional matchup, one of two on the day, Washington and Dallas. And then Ravens Steelers, as it stands, not in jeopardy as we record. We'll have the breaking news if anything were to happen. But as of right now, we get to have dessert with some Ravens Steelers. And are you ready for this prime time Ravens divisional matchup against these Steelers? We love it. This is one of the games you live for. This is why it's on prime time. I love the fact that it's on one of the holidays, Thanksgiving. Family, food, and football, what we strived for on Thanksgiving. Everybody be thankful for. I'm thankful that we get some football this year. I'm thankful that we have some Ravens football. I'm thankful for the NFL for providing the protocols in place to allow the fans to have it. And not only that, but just reminiscing, I'm going to throw it out there, Brandon. I'm thankful for Ravens Steelers. I was the only game I got to go to this year in 2020 in person, because that's as right. It stands, they nixed the fans for this year. So that was a proud moment. Yeah, I was part, and I'll never forget about that for 2020. I was part of a 4,000 fan contingent to be a part of a Ravens Steelers game. And hey, it was the game to go to. It was against one of our rivals, even though they didn't win. But anyway, Ravens got to take care of business, laid it all out there. It's do or die. It's playoff atmosphere. It's Heinz Field. It's Pittsburgh. It's Thursday night football. Are you ready for a Thanksgiving feast? I know Halloween was past, but are we going to be tricked or treated this Thanksgiving? Have to throw that in there, mix it. But Baltimore Ravens, how about it, guys? It's been ugly. It's been crazy. But are we ready to fly high in Pittsburgh?
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to BrandoCash.com.